hate. No hype. No fear. We are TFR. Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com, broadcasting live out of Kanatistan. Here in Hamilton, Ontario, we've got Phil Ryerson live in studio to join the Angry Beaver panel. And how's it going, Phil?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on the show again. And how are you guys?
Excellent here. Thank you.
Now, we had a couple of shows ago, and for those who don't know, Phil ran for mayor here in Hamilton, Ontario. Unfortunately, he didn't win. But he's a controversial guy. He's got a lot of different views you won't hear from the mainstream candidates. So it wouldn't surprise me, you know, anyone that hardcore is not going to get a lot of voters or a lot of media attention for that matter. So.
Well, I'm going to have to agree with him there, because during the time of the debate, I was not allowed to be invited to Cable 14 there to be answering and ask questions because of my realness. But anyways, I'm going to be joining the Green Party here in Hamilton, Ontario, Central Hamilton here in the next federal election. But before we get into some of that, I would like to bring up this new taxi driving school, because I was going to head back to work here. And it states right here during the time of my taxi course that I've already paid $600 to take this course. Now they're telling me I have to retake it over, pay $100, plus pay another on top of that, $900 for a new course. And they would like cab drivers to take CPR to give it out to people. Do you really want cab drivers doing CPR on citizens out here?
I mean... I don't know what to say to that, but it's more bureaucracy. You see this more, I noticed, with the cab industry in the big cities. Like, you go to Toronto, you go to New York City, that's really bad. The amount of just scumbaggery in the cab industry, in terms of, you want to be a cab company, it's not an open free market. You can't just put a sign on a car and say, and start driving cab. And if it was a free market, you would be able to just put a sign on your car and say, I'm driving a cab.
Well, absolutely, but here's the funniest part about it all. We have a person in City Hall who is running this taxi driver school. His name is Al Fletcher, inside of our City Hall. I've called this gentleman several times, and they were saying, if you have a complaint about the school, call Mr. Al Fletcher in City Hall. And, of course, I'm the type of guy who just has been calling him three or four times now. This individual doesn't seem to want to get back to me because of the type of person I am. And here's a lot of my complaints about this. Half the cab drivers I know there, most of them have been driving for 20 to 30 years. Half of them would need CPR themselves. The other thing is that since they're trying to get us to learn CPR and everything, does this mean that inside of our taxis we have to have first aid kits now because we are qualified for this? And are we going to be more ambulance drivers or taking people to their destination?
Yeah, like what's next 10 years from now? It's like, hey, we could save a lot of money on healthcare by just hiring the cabs to do double duty. Drive to the hospital and perform CPR on you and fix you up.
Well, the other thing is that we pay for our taxis. Like, for an example, for me to come back to work, I'll be paying $65 a day for a day shift. And during this time, now, since they're charging the taxi drivers for this course, which I'm not understanding, if it was a security job or something like that, you learn it for free. But they want to charge only the taxi drivers. But not only here in Hamilton, Ontario. Now, they want to expand this school all across Brampton, and they're the next ones to be hit. They want to teach them how to drive in emergency situations. Now, we've been doing this myself. I'm coming in back, and I've been driving cab for 9 to 10 years. I know every station there is, but now they want me to do a course on where there is a city, a street. And to me, it's just ridiculous in how the school and the guy running the school is making $300,000 for this new course coming up. And during the time that we had to take our old course, which is part of the new course, we have to pay, turn around and pay another $600. And it's just a scam for our city to just make sure that the cab drivers don't become anything than what they are because they're trying to bring in a union.
And, I mean, you see this kind of thing going across the board, not just in the cab industry. You're seeing it in all kinds of professions where, oh, you got to have a license to be a hairdresser or this or that. It's like, hey, you're either good or you're not. If you suck at being a hairdresser, nobody's going to come back for a recut. You know what I mean?
Absolutely like it's, not. And I want to mention there was an ambulance driver, not even a few days ago. It was a personal friend of my buddy's there, and they took him into the church and everything because his life was destroyed. This ambulance driver refused to perform somebody on somebody and was guaranteed 18 months in jail. Is this going to happen to cab drivers like myself? The person could be a crackhead. The person could be a drunk. The person could be anything and all because I wouldn't perform something that could have even taken my own life, which I believe as a cab driver doesn't even have the qualifications to even want to do that.
Well, that's all I know is I'm seeing more and more professions, blue collar professions where you need a license to do this or a license to do that. And then, you know, I work in the construction industry. I see all these licensed guys. I've worked behind them for like 20 years now. Licensed plumber, licensed electrician. Some of the worst butchers I've ever seen. Most of the electricians, I call them licensed arsonists.
Oh,
but hey, they're insured, right? They got the insurance. But hey, if you know how to do it yourself and do it the correct way and are willing to take the time and put the effort in, oh no, you can't do it. No, no, you got to hire the licensed insured arsonist.
Well, absolutely. But since the city of Hamilton is trying to make all the cab drivers do all this stuff, and since we have to pay for a lease, like I said, $65, I was wondering if they're going to start paying us a wage on top of this, since they want to think we're EMS drivers, which is ambulance drivers, which to me is going to create more charges than anything else. And this is where the saddest part comes in.
Yeah, the cab driver is going to get an increased pay chunk, maybe taken out of the OHIP money that pays for our health care to help compensate the cab drivers for their first aid.
Well, yeah, but the whole part is that the cab driver is his own boss. And the saddest part is that we have to pay for everything on our own. So what I'm saying is that are people just going to call us because they're sick? Like, do they expect us to do more than CPR? Oh, I got a cut. Could you fix it?
But what's next? You're going to need a certificate or a license to work at Tim Hortons. Oh, wait. I think you already do. You need a food handler certificate to work at a coffee shop and give somebody a donut or a bagel. I mean, what? Why? It does for mom and pop who wants to compete against the big chain, wants to start a coffee shop, right? Now they got to provide all this extra bureaucracy, and all it is a money grab. It's not to protect the public, you know. And it's the same with the cab thing. It's just a bureaucracy for them to sell these courses and scam all these people, these cab drivers, out of their money through this selling these courses to them.
And trying to get a hold of Terry Whitehead, chairman of the board of the License Committee and Living Standards here, is literally impossible. Like, this guy will not talk to me, neither for some reason. I don't know why. None of our politicians like talking to me. I don't have a clue. I feel like I'm on Jeopardy. If Alex, could I buy this clue for $2,000?
Well, speaking of that, we had your freedoms in Jeopardy. We have a kind of like a parody of Jeopardy. It's called Your Freedoms in Jeopardy, and it's a trivia game show based upon what's going on in current events today. And we'll have to have you back on one time to maybe be a contestant on that show.
Well, absolutely. You know, like I have my own talk show out here. It's called Potty Talk. And it's a little different for people to really watch. And, you know, I just brought out a video. It's called Potty Talk, Stephen Harper Christmas Song. It's what I really think of what he thinks of the public. And several other characters are on there, like Laura Babcock is on there. And I kind of come across how she manipulates people on cable 14 and stuff like that. And Justin Trudeau is next on Potty Talk, and he's going to look really bright and special. I want to assure you of this. Well, you know, since I'm coming up into the next federal election coming up through the Green Party in Central Hamilton, and as we can see, as we talked about this before, we have this situation of marijuana out here where we have, of course, the Principat out there coming out there going, we're going to have this many more people voting for the Liberal Party and everything. It's kind of funny how the same person put him in jail, like you guys were saying before, and now all of a sudden he wants to shake his hand and going, give me more time.
Yeah.
Team Trudeau.
Since Trudeau voted against legislation or voted for legislation that for stiff fines for marijuana possession, right? Yet he runs around pretending that he's, you know, Mr. Pro-Pot, and now he's got the Principat, Mark Emery, backing him. And it's like, this is the thing. If Justin Trudeau really meant what he said and voted the way he said, I would at least support Justin on that issue. But he's you know, he's sitting on the fence and he's playing both sides. So,
well, absolutely. No, and everybody knows all you have to do is take away one bill and it's back in the, and you can legalize it. Myself, I would like to see it in stores. And street value, I would like to see 7 grams go for $25 here. So this way people inside of the stores, but also I'd like to see them, be more protected and not absolutely sell it in the stores, but absolutely go in there like the vending machines, but have it on the walls so people won't be able to steal it as quickly as they might be able to do in Colorado.
And I saw a vending machine apparently popped up in on the West Coast there, a pot vending machine.
Oh, I think, like I said before, I'd like to see Hamilton, Ontario become the first city to legalize marijuana here. And as a person who has prices and everything, along with alcohol, you know, like we have the LBCO out here and all across sitting there going, we want to sell, we want to do this. I would like to see them just expand and sell it right inside the stores itself. And we're not like the states. We don't really endorse guns and everything like that. So to the citizens, take that right out of the way, because here in Canada, we're already against them. And it's not as much in the states where they were sitting there going, well, every time you do this, you put a gun store right beside it. Well, here in Canada, it's not quite like that.
No, no, there's not very many gun stores in Canada.
You know, like at all.
Not really. And they're not like, yes, there are some, you know, for hunters and stuff, but it's very sparsely dotted around. You know, it's not like everywhere where there's a liquor store, there's a gun store right beside it or something.
And I've talked to a lot of different people. And of course, you know, I'm not shy in a lot of different matters. Now, myself, I would like to get rid of the police department here in Canada and only have OPP. There's several reasons why. Number one is that when the OPP goof up, at least the CRMP come in and investigate them. There would be two. And our SIU unit out here across Ontario is just a disgrace. Like, you know, like in the police department itself, like we had even our chief of police out here come out here and go, well, I'm going to resign. Well, no, I'm going to stay back in there for 2 more years. If he can't keep his word, who else isn't? And it's a shame. And this is why I like to see the OPP. Not only that, there would be no more boundaries. This means that Toronto police would be Hamilton police, and there would be no more boundaries whatsoever if we took away the whole police department.
Now, you're talking more like the local police departments and using the provincial one, basically.
Absolutely. And not only that, the police department, if they'd done this, would also get medical for life, which is something they've been fighting for a long time. And I can assure you the police department does not like this idea whatsoever. They are not standing there giving Phil Ryerson high fives for this. I want to assure you of this. This is not something they want.
Well, what about the RCMP?
Well, the thing is that the OPP is for Ontario, and the CRMP is for Canada. But this is why, but, you know, we only have the SIU looking after Ontario, which is our ordinary police department. But the OPP is ran by federal, which is basically, you know, could almost go on to the reserves, have to be called, but at least they would have more boundaries of everywhere. Not saying that they're going to get on. The only people who can is really the CRMP. But at least if there's a danger, there would be more rescues for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can definitely see how there's corruption on the local level within local police forces, whether you're talking Hamilton or Toronto or Barrie or whatever, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas, you know, like we've been pulled over, like up north, typically if you get pulled over by the OPP, it means you're on the highway.
Absolutely.
And they just caught you doing like 70, 80 clicks over the speed limit, doing, you know, near 200 kilometers an hour up the 100, in the 100 zone. And they pull you over. Hey, you know what could happen? If you hit a deer going that fast, you'd be a bloody mess all over the road. Well, and they almost 9 times out of 10, they let you know what they could fine you for, and then they let you go. They don't even give you a ticket. I don't know how many times we've been pulled over on the highway We should have had our license taken from the road. And they're nice guys. They just say, hey, man, you hit a deer going this fast, you blow your tire, you're gone.
Well, I'm not saying because of the niceness of them. Like, I'm sure if you ask other people, like, you're going to have your complaints about them also. But what I'm saying is that I would rather see the SIU gone from absolutely everywhere and absolutely have the OPP and have the CRMP investigate. Having two people investigated is better than one any day. And it would take so much corruption away from all of our city, Hamilton, of having control of it. Right now we have our aldermans who have control of our police department here. And this is scary because, you know, they always talk about no more than a 2-year term, which I fought for and still am. And I think it is a great idea, just like the United States have, since Canada wants to follow the United States, except for this rule, of course.
But, yeah, it does seem that whether it's the federal police or the provincial police have a much better reputation than the local police departments in the cities. In terms of corruption.
Oh, by far. Like, you know, like when you get pulled over here in the city by an OPP, like you've pretty much have done really something wrong. But the issue boils down to it is that our police departments would take away a lot of our corruption because it would no longer have their power. It would be the provincial power instead of our Ontario government power, which should be scaring everybody. Look at Rob Ford, like for another example, you know, like, everybody's going, oh, Rob Ford has this tumor, oh, cancer and everything. But if Rob Ford was forced to take a medical along with a drug test, and like I tried to fight for, he would have known about this a long time ago and could have probably been fixed a lot earlier.
With the cannabis oil.
Well, whichever.
Whichever method.
I think he has his own types of oil, and and some of them are in chunks. But
so, yeah, what you're saying is true. If the mandatory drug testing had been implemented for politicians, then Rob Ford would have known long ago, like the forced medical and the drug testing for all politicians, then he would have known he had cancer a lot sooner.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, like during that time, you would have been tested for a lot of other things. And, you know, like, and these guys are just sitting there going, well, nothing ever happens to us. But, you know, I've always said check in or check out with your doctor, but people aren't looking at it in my way of looking at things right now. Like, you know, like we have our hospitals out here that are just going insane. Like, you know, I would remember watching the Economy Summit, and the guy came right out and said that nurses only give out pills. Right on the Economy Summit, and he was talking about cutbacks right there on it as I was watching the Economy Summit, which I got a ticket for, and I brought out a video of it, and it showed that I was standing there and I was walking in, and all of a sudden this guy comes walking up to me. He's wearing an English uniform all the way back from the year probably 400 BC, whatever you want to talk about, right from Braveheart days, and he comes up to me and goes, my ancestors were here. I go, is that right? And they started laughing. And then he goes, where are you going? I go, I'm going in here. He goes, so am I. I go, do you know where you're going? He goes, absolutely. He goes, just follow me. I go, I wouldn't miss it for the world. So me and this gentleman go inside there. Next thing you know, the people come walking over. He's going, my ancestors were here. Now, we have police outside there. Not at all. But there's police cars all around there and everything like that. So next thing you know, this gentleman's in there for about 50 seconds. Here comes the police. He goes, are you leaving? Now, as soon as I seen the police, I jump back about 10 feet. I realize that, you know, here comes some stupid charge or another. And next thing you know, I'm arrested too. He goes, you're under arrest. I go, hang on a second. He goes, you're on private property. I go, listen, I was invited here. And I phoned up there and through the Economy Summit. So next thing you know, the police officer goes, well, blah, 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 blah. So next thing you know, I said, hey, I'm coming back here. So I come back there. Even though I'm still charged for being on possession of private property, the guy says that the police will allow me to be back on the property. And so as I go in there, the guy goes, the police department is going to escort you and set you down. And I'm going, how would I get this generosity from our finest? Of being sit down in some of the most important people inside of our city and be sat down by those guys and pay $268 a plate just to eat. That's not even to buy a drink yet. And I kind of went down and I made a video of it. And the part that killed me the most is if there's a rally being held outside by an activist group, the police department are not there. And 50 seconds later, they're there. And next thing you know, they're all out front. My question is, where were they? And how did we even walk in the front door? Where was our finest? With the most important people in our city of Hamilton at that time, where were they to allow a guy wearing a costume from 400 years ago to walk inside there who could have had anything on him to do him whatever he could have done on him and them allow them him to walk in? And then all of a sudden, as I come back, there's like five cops all over the place. Ain't they a little too late?
Yeah. Yeah, where were they when Braveheart stormed the building?
And you know, and I'm just sitting there going, and they're questioning me and my ability. Well, this court case comes up, and I believe it's March 15th, and I look forward to this court case of asking these police officers of where they were. Maybe they were having lunch. You know, who knows what they were really doing. But I know one thing. They were not at that door.
Of course, I know where they were. They were getting out of there. William Wallace showed up, and you're like, I ain't messing with it. I want no part of this. I don't know.
And I just sat there, and I started laughing at our police's finest. So, you know, and I know a few police officers because of my younger years. I'm no stranger to the police officers. And some of them are sitting there just shaking their head going, what are your plans? And I'm going, not to deal with yous in any form, matter, or way. But our police department here in Hamilton, Ontario is, would I say corrupt? Well, I wouldn't come out and say totally corrupt. I believe there's a few good officers. But out of the 267 that we have for day shift and night shift, I'll say maybe 67 of them are good. That's not a pretty good percentage.
I think that part of the big problem of the local police forces in a lot of the cities is they're using them to generate revenue. And that's not what they're supposed to be there for. They're there to for law enforcement as a peace officer. So when there's a call, they go and they address the call. But they're not supposed to be running around trying to ticket everybody and get everybody for every infraction. This is,
well,
we pay taxes to pay their salary. Why are they trying to generate extra revenue? This is ridiculous.
Well, that is basically their job, is to cost us money, believe it or not. This is what they're out there to do. But overall, I think our police department is a crying shame here in our city. You know, there was a survey of 100 women that were taken. And 97% of them said that they would not call their police department. They were worried about being charged themselves. They were worried about the ignorance coming from them. You know, the police department, I was there the one time, and one lady was there, and she goes, I'm worried about my son. He goes, just keep the child in the house. So that's his, that was his answer for the child, to be stepped in his house and be protected by his parents, but that child is no longer allowed to go outside. What's it going to be like at school for them? I thought they're supposed to take bullying away, not create it.
Right.
And myself, I'm an anti-bullying. I was on Y108 here in our city, and I talked about bullying, of how we need to bring in a program called Scared Straight. Over in the United States, it seems to be working over here. But our children's aid workers over here are a little different. And I guess they wanted to jump back into my life recently. They called on my baby's mom. I guess she called the police on me, and now all of a sudden they're thinking that they're coming into my life. I haven't spoken to this gentleman yet, but I've already phoned the children's aid and let them know. You just get a hold of that court order for me, and you just have this court order ready for me, and you just have all these things ready before I even talk to you. And I go, when you have them, give me a call. I've not heard back from them yet, and probably not hearing from them. And I have custody of my son. I won in court. And, of course, I represent myself in court. It's a lot cheaper today. I want to assure everyone. And my buddy goes, only a fool represents himself. And I'm going, well, this fool has been almost charged with everything in his younger years and kind of understands everything that he's been charged with because he's lived it. And
yeah, but it's funny because the court looks at it like only a fool can't represent themselves.
Well,
you lose standing by having to go in there with a lawyer, and that's what people, just because it's now the norm, was never the norm before. 100 years ago, if you needed somebody else to represent you in court, you would be looked at as a fool.
Oh, absolutely.
You know. And so I know I understand their perspective, but even today, I mean, basically you lose some standing. Well, because you're going in there saying, I can't even speak to the court and I need this guy
to represent myself.
To say stuff for me, and it, you know.
Well, I know myself, I was on a court case there, and I was driving under suspension. Myself, I was able to keep this going for over almost 3 years, putting it over and putting it over and putting it over and putting it over. I could have had two failed to appears, but I've already made a bargaining deal with the Crown, and I just kept playing off it and playing off of it. And it took the police officer almost 2.5 years for me to show up, and I was waiting for him to take my guilty plea because I already made a deal with the Crown. But until that police officer showed up and took the time out, I knew myself I was not going to do it. He is going to earn his money with me no matter what it is, no matter who they are. But I'll tell you, the taxi driver industrial right now, to Brampton out there and to all the, especially Toronto, you guys do not need a course that we've already known for years. This is a money grab. And I believe that I myself will be coming out here talking to the cab drivers, not only here in Hamilton, but across Toronto, and going inside and making a video and putting it on their YouTube and absolutely creating an Ontario strike-wide taxi industrial. Now, there's another company called Goober outside of Toronto that absolutely does undercutting for the taxi drivers. Are they going to have to take this course? I don't think they are. Only taxi drivers have to pay for this course. If the city wants us to do it, at least give us a wage to do it. And on top of that, pay for it.
So, yes, these under-the-radar, non-licensed cab companies that aren't officially cab companies are out there swiping the business from out underneath it. They can operate.
A call from the fire department commander.
Well, we got a break coming up, guys.
To contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the plan for
everyone? Yeah, definitely a secondary explosion. We was inside waiting to go upstairs, and on our way upstairs.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only InfectedUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Evil contains within it the seed of its own destruction.
Truth Warrior with David Whitehead. Mondays on Truth Frequency Radio.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order. And instead, it looks like we got a lot of disorder. We still, and after 9/11, we've been more sensitive to the.
So we have to shape an international order that can meet the challenges of our generation.
Welcome back to the Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. We are broadcasting live out of Canada, and we're here with our guest Phil Ryerson on the broadcast. Now, did you want to get into a bit of the Green Party? You're talking about joining up as a candidate or just joining up with the party?
Oh, no, I'm going to be a candidate coming up here in the next Central Hamilton here. And let's get right into it. And I'd like to remind all the citizens here, out of the top three parties, every one of them owe billions of dollars. The Green Party only has one person in there, which is Elizabeth May, but so far has been a great leader for them. But not only on top of that, Mello, because of the bill C-23, which is minus C-23, they were sitting there, and in Ontario, the Green Party was not allowed to speak because they didn't have anyone in a seat. Well, Elizabeth May sits in C-309 for the federal election, and since she is there, we should be able to speak this time coming up inside of this next federal election. And absolutely give our rights to say of what we think of what is really happening. Now, we just had Andrew Horvath come out there and say, the Liberal Party's just took $8 billion. It doesn't matter which one, but I'll tell you this much. On my Facebook right now, it shows federal tax, and it absolutely shows how much money is going across it. And I want to assure the citizens out here, our federal debt moves faster than time. Absolutely faster than time. It does not stop going, and it isn't now. It is just going higher and higher. And if we don't make a choice here sooner or later and bring in more people from other parties, we're going to be just further and further into debt, just like the United States is. And I'm hopefully over there too, they'll bring in more people from their Green Party and absolutely start doing the change.
Well, over the decades, I mean, our political parties in Canada have just sold us right down the river to the private central bankers, be it the World Bank or the IMF.
Well, absolutely. You know, like we have a person like Justin Trudeau coming right out there and saying the debt will take care of itself. Oh, it sure is. It's raising higher and higher and higher, and it's not stopping. So, yeah, it's looking after itself. It's getting higher. And this is one of the most ridiculous statements this individual can say. To be honest with you, I don't think Justin Trudeau is ready to be a top leader yet. I think he's several years behind.
And well, I think he's going to have to have a license to be a prime minister, don't you think?
Oh, well, they want us to have a license for everything else. Why not?
Pretty much, yeah.
Exactly. Mr. Trudeau have CPR training.
Well, he probably has some sort of training, and my new video coming out will show a lot of what Justin Trudeau really is, and I can assure you right now, Justin Trudeau is going to be favored in this next federal election coming up. He doesn't have to worry about funding at all, I'm sure any of it. I'm sure he's got a few private bankers out there going, here's all your money, sir, and a little more.
I wonder if George Soros has a couple of extra bucks for him, huh? I don't know, it's funny how Harper and George Soros are just lock in step with the whole Ukraine situation over there in Russia. But you know, politically, you know, George Soros would be like an arch nemesis. Oh, that evil Harper and Soros, you know,
well,
and vice versa. But really, they're in the global scheme, on the global politics platform, they're right in line with each other. So, I mean, Harper's a phony conservative. I don't. He's not even.
He is.
I don't even know what they are.
I think my video will tell you what I think Stephen Harper is doing to the Canadians in there, the Stephen Harper song, and what he is steady is doing to the Canadians out there. And the main issue is that we have this guy out there fighting for all these unions across all these foreign places, except for here in Canada. We have him doing all these oil deals over here. As we can see why the oil is down so much right now, it's because of Russian, and this is the only reason why it's down. But if they could have lowered it because of Russia, why couldn't they have done it years ago? This is the part that kills me, and it's only because they want to bankruptcy another country. And, of course, we know that's always about to, because they have their own currency.
But what's interesting is we're seeing, we could be witnessing an economic suicide of Canada and the United States by collapsing the oil price. The tar sands are on the verge of shutting down. They just announced 200 layoffs at the Alberta tar sands. Obama or the Congress just agreed to the XL pipeline deal, which is totally useless if you're shutting down the manufacturing and the shipping of the oil.
Well, that's a lot of true, unless they're going to bring out the reserves. And I'd like to remind the people, during the time of the Gulf War there and everything, Canada decided to buy over $880 billion of the oil with them, unless they plan on bringing that out. But other than that, I don't believe they are. And it's just another way of shutting Canada down.
Yeah, because the price is so low that the United States and Canada they'll lose money by pulling it out of the ground at that price. They'll lose money. It'll cost them more than they're making. So, like, it's just a matter of, I don't know if it's weeks we have or months. The price stays low, that our oil industry will just shut down. And that pipeline deal that they've been going on and on about for years now, they finally say, okay, we'll put it through now that the oil industry here is about to shut down. We'll see how long it lasts. If oil stays lower, goes lower, oil's going to shut down here.
But I believe Stephen Harper has to get out there now. We have the NDP leader coming out here. I believe his name is McClare. I always say that this guy talks against the wind, And this guy's a guy I don't really pay much attention to. I don't think he was the perfect person for the federal leadership of the NDP party. But he's coming out there saying that Justin Trudeau and Stephen Harper are getting a lot more time. Well, what about Elizabeth May? Isn't she not getting any time? How can they be complaining about themselves when this person out there has a right to have all these rights and has been taken away from her?
What about the conspiracy theories with the Green Party and the carbon tax and stuff?
Well, I can't really see that really happening, considering the fact they only have one person in there. How bad could it really be? Mm-hmm. There's only her in there. So, regardless of what they're trying to say about it all, with you only have one person in there, and how much does her vote really matter? Until you get several people in there, I don't think there's too much conspiracy with anything. Now, if you want to talk about the top three parties, I'm sure there's a lot of conspiracy.
I'd say the conspiracy goes deeper than that, is that most of the political parties in Canada are pushed for the same globalist agenda. So, to join up with a green, one of the smaller parties, and to try to be heard, you're more likely to go farther and last longer. Like, say, if I was to join up with the Conservative or the Liberal Party and was trying to expose what's going on, I don't think I'd last too long before they just said, hit the road, Jack, get out of here.
Well, absolutely.
But if I was to join up with, say, the Libertarian Party or the Green Party, or there's actually a whole pile of, I like the Pirate Party, actually, but any of those smaller parties, I can go, I can be heard, I can have my voice heard. I don't necessarily have to agree with all the party platform, and it's another platform to get involved with. What's another one? The Canadian Action Party?
That's where the problem really comes in, because they're not going to be heard because they don't have a seat in there. Because of the Bill C-23, you must have a seat in there before you're heard. And in Ontario, the Green Party never had any seats, and that's why you never were heard. But since they have a seat in a federal election, they should at least be heard here. And because the other parties will not be heard hardly at all. You're lucky if you see them in the paper once or twice. It was like me during the election of Hamilton, Ontario, when they wouldn't invite me to anything, no matter what it was, because of my ways of fighting for things, like them having a drug test. They didn't want me to speak of that. 2-year term, they don't really. And they came across and they asked an age-ass butt about this 2-year term. He goes, that's it, that's final. The guy didn't have a clue of why he was even there, you know. And, of course, he was funded by the CEO of Helm DeKalb, who's wanted for attempted murder, who I've been screaming about for years now. And for some reason, we're going to hold a rally for this person coming up in March, the CEO of Helm DeKalb. It will be held at 55 Bay Street. A lot of the cab drivers will be part of this because this man, they also know that he is wanted for attempted murder. And since the immigration at 55 Bay Street, where I've taken in the paperwork for this man being wanted for attempted murder in his own country, right from India, they came right out and said that his country would not take him back. But I came out and said that this man lied to become a Canadian citizen and should be extradited as soon as possible.
Interesting. So, yeah, I don't know. Party politics. I mean, here at Angry Beaver Radio, we're not one for party politics, but I don't want to dissuade anybody, especially any of the listeners, that that's one place you can have change or, you know, have your voice heard and be a voice in the wilderness and appeal to different audiences is join a political party, any political party. And even better is be a candidate, run as a candidate. Maybe your views don't particularly line up with the party line. Maybe you agree with a few things of that party. Oh, well, go in there. Get in there like a dirty shirt. Say your piece. Maybe the party says, hey, this guy, we don't like this person. Get him out of here. They kick you out. Big deal. I'm sure if I joined the Conservative or the Liberal Party tomorrow as a candidate, they'd boot me out within 5 minutes of me talking. But at least I tried, right? But
and this is what they do with everybody who they don't fit into their policy of raising everything. And, you know, like for an example, we have out here called porters for the Board of Education. Now, the Board of Education is being kicked in the head, especially the public school board. Now, they only have EA teachers from 9 o'clock to 11:30. And the Catholics have it from 9 o'clock to 3:30. This is a big deal in education form. But my main problem with it all is that we have a lot of disability children out here that are going to all these different new mega schools coming up and everything like that. We have these portables. I would like to put them in parks to where disabled children and all this can go and not be harmed by other children and be looked after properly. And it's almost next to nothing of money for our federal government to actually bring this in for Hamilton, Ontario, not only here, but probably around everywhere. But these portables are a lot of uses to the children out here. Now, my son, who has a disability himself, is getting ready for high school. I think one of these places would be perfect for him to go to instead of being picked on at high schools. And these are one of my main concerns out here for it. Now, here in Hamilton, Ontario, here's another thing, since I'm running for Central Hamilton. We have the bus lanes down there that have been down there for approximately 2 years now that cost us over, who knows, millions of dollars. How many tickets have gone across there for people cutting over there because they're in the bus lane, getting ticket for it now. Now they're going to take it out. So all these people who are ticketed and everything lost points for their driver's license, lost everything. They're going to go out there and take this out of our city of Hamilton now, the bus lanes, put it back to the way it was, and it costs over $2 million to do this. And who knows how many ticket fines for the citizens out here. But on top of that, they've changed Gord Park down there now probably four times and have spent over $5 million, if not more, of something that is still not done right. And they are just wasting citizens' money and nonstop waste and waste and waste. And Hamilton's starting to wake up to a lot of this.
Well, we've got you here, the Green Party. We've got some environmental issues, aside from the carbon taxes. What some of our actual environmental concerns here that doesn't get addressed by mainstream environmentalism would be the Fukushima disaster.
Oh, absolutely.
That's still ongoing. And to me, that's like one of the biggest things that's ongoing. And it's like somebody's – and I mean, this is a global issue. It's not really – but it affects us locally if we're being irradiated.
Absolutely. I don't deny this. And I'm a person who realizes this too. And it's already hit our waters. If not, it hit the United States, I believe, last year sometime. And I agree with you 100%, and it's not only for that neither. And, of course, we have our chemtrails out there. We have all these other things out here. We have the fluoride in the water, of course. You know, we have arsenic in our water, of course. We have all these things. But, you know, over in British Columbia, they've taken all the fluoride out of their water, and I was hoping that Ontario will follow it. But now we have Monica Taylor come out here, who's in the From Hamilton West, and who Andrea Horvath picked the first, come out there saying that we believe that we need fluoride in the water to help our teeth.
Because wow. People can't afford toothpaste. For those who in Canada, who in Canada can't get their hands on some toothpaste? Are you kidding? Are you kidding me?
Well, and you know, like in myself, I come out there and I'm listening to a person like this, and I'm going, of course, only the NDP would pick this person. You know, because did she get to speak during any other time? No, she didn't. I'm glad they hit her. I would have too.
It was like, I'm like, how dumb do they think the public is? They send this lady out, well, we got to fluoridate the people because some people can't afford toothpaste. And I'm like, yeah, people can't afford toothpaste. Are you for real?
Well, do you brush your teeth in the shower?
I don't know.
Don't think so.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm just giving an example of what these people are thinking out here. You know, do I believe that they're poisoning our water? Of course I do. Like, but to all you activists out there, no matter what group you're part of, you cannot come out there and make any type of a big deal until you run for something yourselves. You have to come out here and run for things to make a difference inside of the city, even though you might not be able to speak like I was in. But I came out here to get my opinion out here, which none of you used, really have been doing, and I've tried to create an activist party. During the time of my last election, we had Canadian Americans out there. We had Frank Oz. We had Terry Wilson. We had Norm Doerr. We had Warren Ron Francis out there. And I asked all these people to come out there and join me. And Frank said that he would. A couple of others said that they wouldn't. And then they went back on their own words. So it's hard to work with an activist group when you're going back on your own words with other people. And myself, you know, I brought out a video and criticize a lot of their doings, because the simple fact is that I believe that all they're doing is using other opinions but not their own ideas, and there's a group of 3,000 of them, and I was expecting a lot more from a group than that. That's for sure. But myself, I would never ever bother with this group or follow them ever again, because of the way that I believe that they never really fought for anything. And that was the saddest part. When you have an opportunity to come out there and make a force through Hamilton, and I told them all, I had this person wanting to do this, this person could have worked with this, this person could have worked with that. It could have been a team, but when there's no team, then you have to come out here and you join a team like I did. And this is the main reason why I joined the Green Party, for all these other reasons, to come out here and be heard. Now, I'm sure the Green Party's aware of a lot of things happening out here, but I haven't joined them yet, so I'm going to come out here and say what I think is right, regardless, because I haven't signed the papers yet. Until I do, which will be at the end of January here, I will come out here and voice my opinion of the true facts of whether people like me or not, but at least you'll get honest answers from myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for people to criticize, oh, well, you join this party, and oh, well, that party's infiltrated, or you join that party, they're controlled opposition. Well, you guys want to form a party? No? Well, you know, we got to figure something out here. Now, there was, what's his name? I think it was Jamie Scott over on the West Coast a couple of years ago or something, tried to form the Truth Party. And he made some powerful videos, and it just seemed that Canada just wasn't ready to handle the truth at that time.
Well, Canada's not ready to handle the truth now, even though they're watching it happening, especially here in Hamilton, Ontario. You know, here in Hamilton, Ontario, nobody really cares. Like, during the time of my campaign, I went into the toughest areas. I was in James Street Survey, Tyndale Court, Oriole Crescent. I came out here to fight for the little guy. And it's hard to get people to come out here to fight for you when they don't care until it happens to them themselves. And this is the whole problem with Hamilton, Ontario. This is why most places are picking Hamilton first, because they're thinking that Hamilton doesn't care. And the citizens showed it in the last vote. I believe there was only 25,000 people that voted Fred Eisenberg in there out of a population of probably 700,000 people. And that's just one of the saddest things to show that the people are just not concerned here in Hamilton, Ontario. This is why the same people get back in, because they don't want to come out and take the time to vote. And if you don't vote, you can't expect to change.
Yeah, there's something wrong when you see the same revolving door of politicians, career politicians.
Well, and the citizens are sitting there going, the same people are getting in, but they're not voting, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hamilton, Ontario has some of the greatest complainers. But, you know, when a person steps up, they're sitting there going, look at that guy. He's stepping up, but he doesn't realize because they don't want to step up. So someone has to step up. And myself, I'm going to step up because I can't stand watching my friends die over stuff. All because they don't want to care. You know, this goes for family members. This goes for anybody. If you don't care, you can't really help much.
Yeah, that's part of the problem is too high of a percentage of people in society that just don't care about anything.
Until it happens to them.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's happening to them, and they just don't see it. But since it's not happening to them directly, they're not thinking of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of the awfulest things that you could ever imagine. You know, like, can you disimagine, like, how the people out here, and all of a sudden they're going, oh, this person happened, and this happened with the children's aid. This person happened with this over here. They're knowing all these things are happening, but they're still not doing nothing about it because they're sitting there going, I got to do this and do this and do this. But if they all would have done it before, they wouldn't have to do it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Phil, just like I was mentioning one time before, like some of the, even the people at work that I talk to, they don't want to do anything either. And I said, well, what about what the government is doing? Well, they're going to do it anyway, right? I said, well, why don't you do something about it? And they just kind of shrug their shoulders and all this kind of stuff, and they make up excuses. Well, you know, I'm too busy to do this, too busy to do that, you know. And I said, the reason why things are happening the way they are is because you do nothing. As the old saying goes, right, evil thrives when good people do nothing.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're doing nothing. If you want to make change, if you don't want to see the Conservatives or the Liberals or the NDP in power, vote them out.
Absolutely.
I said, well, they're going to do it anyway. They're going to do, you know, they're corrupt anyway. I said, well, it's the reason why they're corrupt is because you're not doing anything.
And we have the power. This is what they don't realize. The people have the power to make the change.
Exactly.
They just don't want to come out and do it. You know, like in the last election, Hamilton, Ontario only voted NDP people. And Hamilton, Ontario has to realize right now what they're dealing with. Underneath the NDP people for the last several years now, has our city got better? We've lost Stelco. Now they're talking about being in debt. Like all of a sudden they're going, oh, we just got this 3-year deal, blah, blah, blah. And this is just before the election. And now all of a sudden the election is over and they're going bankruptcy again. They're doing this again. The issue boils down to it is that they knew it from the time they were going to sell it, that it was going to fall. And all of a sudden the same people get in there. And like I said, in the one area, I believe in this area here, there were some like 16 people who ran in the last election for the Ontario election. But in other areas, there wasn't as many. And there was only still like 3,000 people who voted. To get inside of a ward, 3,000 people of a population of 40,000. What is that saying for the Hamilton, Ontario people? And they're sitting there going, we don't care because only these people. Well, you can see why these people are back in there. And you have to congratulate these people for being back in there. Under the grounds of the Hamilton people, just don't care.
But imagine, like, you know, if not everyone just, not just voting, you know, obviously more people need to vote, but imagine if all the people who are paying attention and are sick of it and aware of what's going on decided to join a political party, even the mainstream political parties, to try to run. And overwhelm them, join every party, the Libertarian, the Green Party, the NDP, the all of them, and just swarm and join and run and espouse your own views, not theirs. Well, then what are they going to do? They're screwed.
How many activists are really in the world today? If you really think about it, like there's a lot of them. Like myself, I come out there and say I'm not an activist, but of course, you know, everybody knows I'm a true activist. To all the activists out there, there's probably who knows how many of us from all the groups, from Canadian Awareness Network to Anonymous to Canadian Action Party. The list goes on of all the groups out here, to women and children, to all these groups out here. If they were all to come out and vote, it alone would make a change inside of our cities. But are they doing that? No. Most of them are just sitting there complaining and no changes are ever being made.
And imagine if they all split and joined up each one of these parties and joined them and tried to infiltrate them all. Oh. Look how the Libertarians have tried to infiltrate the Republican Party and to some degree
have at least had their views pushed on the public to have their voice heard.
Absolutely.
Imagine if the activists in Canada joined every party. At some point, they're going to have to stop booting him out and saying, okay, well, he's got a place, a seat at the table to speak his thing, you know?
Well, not only that, but create their own activist party. You know, like, there's a lot of activists out here. Like, you know, like, I myself have come out here and said it several times, let's create an activist party and go inside of the government. We would create attention, maybe not the right away, but in years from now, we absolutely might be getting in there. And nothing happens overnight anyways. It never will.
Well, the crowd showed up last night for Bill Cosby.
Well, you know, like, as much as people are criticizing Bill Cosby, myself, you know, why didn't they come out and criticize this man years ago when he had at least a little bit of strength inside of his body? Some of these charges people are coming out with are from years ago, too. They had plenty of time to come out and speak against him. Why wait till now?
Well, here's the thing, is that these are all accusations. He's never been charged or convicted of anything. So, I mean, I don't, you know, condone if he did any of these things, but I don't know if he did. So the media is basically presuming him guilty.
Oh, absolutely.
Yet nothing's come out in court that he actually did this, so I don't know what to say of it.
Well, even our Helmuth and Mayor came right out and said that he would like to boycott him being outside of, I believe, the convention center there. And I'm sitting there going, well, this is just ridiculous. Like I said, you know, if this guy was like 20 years stronger, who would even want to tempt him anyways? It's not like the guy has no money.
Yeah, he's got money, so why wouldn't they go after the guy?
Well, same with Kathleen Wynne came out too, saying he's got serious criminal charges. People should second guess about going to the event. But then Kathleen Wynne's got serious criminal allegations against her too.
Wynne is it has
she doesn't acknowledge them.
The Liberal Party has stolen on the provincial level from Dalton McGuilty to Kathleen Wynne. They've stolen billions upon billions of dollars from the taxpayers in phony gas plant scams to. What was that other one? The Mars corporate building? I mean, it just...
So I've got a break coming up, guys. Catch you on the
frequency rate.
Back tight.
Watch the band. Through a bunch of dancers.
Haven't you always wanted your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker? To get the word out about the fastest growing news talk outlet in the independent media? Joe Joseph here for TruthFrequencyRadio.com. KTFRN and LibertyStickers.com have teamed up to give you your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker. For free! Just go to TruthFrequencyRadio.com/stickers today. And don't forget to visit our friends at LibertyStickers.com, home of the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. Their vast selection and quality of stickers are second to none. TruthFrequencyRadio.com, because silence is consent.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer.
This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate, no hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome back to TruthFrequencyRadio.com. We're here with our guest, Phil Ryerson. And we were talking about the whole Bill Cosby thing, and then we got into Kathleen Wynne, the Premier of Ontario. And I don't know where that leaves us now. Apparently Harper, Prime Minister Stephen Harper, and Kathleen Wynne had a meeting and apparently had a good discussion, but not the end of their Cold War. And this to me, this is just political theater. I don't see any difference really in their policies, not much, in terms of Kathleen Wynne or Stephen Harper. They're just traitors. Both of them are traitors in my mind. But I don't know. What do you think, Phil?
Well, I think when it comes to either one of them, like especially Stephen Harper there, like I said, you know, like this guy's a war mongrel. He's costing us millions of dollars of wanting to go to this place for war, going over here. Kathleen Wynne is doing nothing but costing us money. For some reason, these guys get in there. And if they owe you money, you're waiting months. But they have your money, and they just take it right away. Like, you know, like their money is theirs.
As soon as you get paid, they take it as soon as you get paid, they get paid.
Well, absolutely. Basically. You know, like I myself have never been a great fan of Kathleen Wynne. Like, I don't know how all the people over there, but during the last election, I would like to state this, that what they took out of there was a place called Area Code 905, which the PC party was running over there for years. And over the last election, that's what the Liberal Party has taken out of there. So I believe that they shouldn't be called Area Code 905. They should be called 9/11, because they're just killing us out here in the money category wise. Like, you know, the citizens have a right to make changes. If they don't come out and vote, like some places will get 60%, this place will get that. But in a majority of the vote, like for it to really matter, we really need the poor people to come out. It is so important.
The Ontario will be cashing in soon too with the new gambling website they got, online gambling.
Well, I believe they've had for years anyways, like from Lotto Max to 649 to whichever else. Like, I believe it's the Ontario government who owns that anyways.
But yeah.
I think that they make millions of dollars either way you look at it, but it's not going to anything good out here. I can assure you of that.
It's true. That's why, you know, they're trying to come up with the ways to make money, I guess.
Well, I don't think they're coming up with ways to steal money, more like it, because... Yeah. Give us any money that we can absolutely say, hey, you know. But when it comes to things out here, like people are sitting there saying, well, you know, we want our property taxes lowered. We want this lowered. Pretty soon they don't have to worry about it. You know, everything will be lowered because we'll be so far in debt. They won't have to worry about another thing happening out here if they don't make changes.
I was wondering if you guys have any thoughts on the the idea of elected sheriffs or police officials? Because I think in the States they do this. It's part of their elections. You know, they can elect the top chief.
Well, could you imagine that happening here? Like some of our chief of police that we've had here are absolutely running and becoming, you know, our top politicians. Oh, man. You know, I'm trying to get rid of the police department. Never mind inviting them. You know, like I said, you know, like if they were all the OPP, they would be looked after differently. We would have no more SIU, which would be just tremendously because of some of the things that have happened, you know, from mental patients being killed, terrorized, sitting inside of the jails because they have nowhere to put them and everything else like this. All these things have been happening out here for years now. And when it comes to the Board of Education, like I said, I would like to see a lot of these new portables out there that are so cheap. They hold like 35 students in an area. So they would all be in walking distance. They could save so much money through the Board of Education by doing this. And of course, as soon as they talk about saving money, now if I come across and said, I have a way that this would cost $700 million, they would sit there and say, how does this work towards the citizens?
Yeah.
How can I take this against the citizens and make them pay for it?
Yeah, exactly. If you had a program that's going to cost an exorbitant amount of money, but yeah, they'll go for it. But if you have a program that eliminates a lot of excess money and fat from the taxpayer and having to pay, like take, for instance, you know, the tablets, right? One of my nephews goes to school. They say every kid has to have a tablet at that school in order to go to school. And they're using Wi-Fi. I'm like, well, why do we even need the teachers or the school now? You just have a teacher sitting at home with a tablet broadcasting to all the students in the bloody country.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned
that. You'd pay one salary and have to pay no heating bills at all these schools.
Believe it or not, I was watching that. It's called CPAC. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but I was watching CPAC, and it was a whole documentary. In 2030, they wanted to take all the schools away and have children learn at home. And since you just mentioned that there, is this really the plan? And if they are, then why are they building all these mega schools? Why cost us more money and these boundaries even more? And you
squeeze
know.
The last bit of money out of us that they can? I don't know. Well, what's going to happen to all these teachers? They got here in Canada, they got big pensions. And nice, well, some of the best pensions you can get is for being a school teacher.
Well,
and
I
what happens when their job goes away before retirement age and they're just sitting there going, you know. My
you
point
imagine.
Is they're going to fight tooth and nail to resist the technological advances that enables us to make things cheaper and more affordable. Because think how many teachers there are that rely on this paycheck. They're not going to want to go without a fight.
Well, the thing is like, it's not only them, but like this is what they have plans for everyone. Like, and this is every union out here. This is all in across Ontario, which is all 1,103 of you. Sooner or later, you guys have to see that you guys are all losing your jobs. And the people that you have leading you aren't leading you anywhere besides down.
It's a suicide. They got the teachers to go along with suicide on their own job, just like they did with the auto unions during the NAFTA, North American Free Trade Deals. All the auto unions were pushing NAFTA. Yes, yeah, ship our jobs to overseas and to Mexico. We don't need a job or a pension.
Well, here's something that's really interesting. Here we have places like, let me give you an example, all these computer places like the Ty Domi commercial and not Wynn, but they're their own separate computer places and they're coming out here and they're all going, well, if you join us, then, you know, it'll cost you only this amount. If you join us, it'll cost you all this amount. Then you have all these other places like the news networks and you have all these other places and I'm sitting there going, and all of a sudden, they have this company coming in there now that is a big deal that are trying to make other people combined that really control it all. And this is called Bell Canada. Bell Canada controls all the lines across everywhere. So regardless whatever computer company you are, no matter what it is, Bell Canada controls it all here. They control everything no matter what it is. And all of a sudden, they're bringing in these people to sit there and go, well, if your union does this and does this, and meanwhile, these are the people who already have control of what the mistakes are coming across everywhere. Here in Hamilton, Ontario, let me give you an example. We have Cochigo, we have Shaw Cable. All these cable things are all connected to the same network, which would be Channel 11 News, Cable 14, Y 95.3, all these other stations, which, of course, they don't want me there. They don't want me to speak at any of these places for some reason. And trust me, I've harassed them all. And they just don't want me coming out and speaking to the public. Especially when we're on Bill Kelly show and stuff like that. I've harassed the Bill Kelly show, brought up questions. You know, here's what they wanted to do. This will cost us thousands and thousands of dollars. Now they're sitting there saying that anybody who was an alderman, a mayor, anybody that was there for, let's say, even 4 years, even Bill Kelly himself, could go back and get $9,000 a year from the time that he ran. So this means people like Larry DeAnne. This means like Fred Eisenberg can get another check. This means anybody who was anything at one time can go back there and get a severance pay, all on the Canadians' money, and sit there and go, we deserve this now. Can you imagine that? And this already happened in the federal election or the Ontario one. We had Sheila Cobbs come out there, resign, received $250,000, went back in the next election, won, turned around and resigned again to receive another $250,000. So she receives $500,000 a year just because she ran. That is just insane. That is just crazy, and millions of dollars going away. So if they were to do this with the Ontario government, who knows how many billions of dollars this would cost all across Ontario and including Canada. Can you imagine if they really done this?
Now, I wanted to get your take on this. I don't know if you heard about this local ordinance in Hamilton about tobogganing down a snow hill. Apparently, there's a $5,000 fine you can get for tobogganing on city property.
Well, this is just ridiculous. Like, you know, what's next? Street hockey?
Well, yeah. Like right here, we've got homeowners never sought permission for rink. City faces liability issues, says mayor. This is in Cornwall, Ontario. Apparently, there was somebody with a backyard rink or a rink on their front lawn, and the city told them to tear it down. Well, so ban the hockey rinks and ban tobogganing. Welcome to the new Canadian order.
Well, of course, and this is what they want us to do, is sit in our computers all day long and take away all of our talent away from it. You know, hockey was supposed to be coming up being faster and better once they took out the red line, too, and I don't see too many people getting over 60 goals like Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, or any of the rest. So that's just a prime example of what they're really doing.
Right.
And it's never going to get better from any of it, either way you look at it.
Well, it's good to know the government can protect us from ice hockey here in Canada, and they can protect us from tobogganing.
Well, maybe
cross country skiing, like any activities, even practicing baseball in the park here without the proper licensing can get you that fine.
Well, I remember my grandfather telling me about tobogganing before and stuff like that. And I guess this is what we're going to have to hear about it. I'm going to have to mention it to my son. Pretty soon he's not going to be allowed to do what we've done.
Well, I say there's snow out there. We should go find a hill that we're not supposed to toboggan down, and we just go for it.
Well, this is, you know, like, this is just ridiculous things that they're trying to make money from us. You know, let's remember, this is the only thing they want to do is come out and try and cost us money instead of sitting there going, hey, how about if we do it this way and nobody will have to pay any money? They'll never do that, though. There'll never be a change in these matters, and I don't think there ever will be. But I'll let my son know that he's not allowed to put on ice skates unless he's in an arena and pay for it. I'll let him know that if he doesn't have a $10,000 toboggan and pay $5 to go down a hill every time, he's not allowed to do it. These are just costly point of views. So.
Well, just all you have to do is just go to Blue Mountain or somewhere like that, and maybe you could use their license hills to keep tobogganing.
See, you don't technically need a license to go there, but those are private. Own private property, private hills, but they see they only allow skis, downhill skis, snowboarding, or anything related to that. I think there's those things called snow blades. There's the parabolic skis, but you can't go there with a GT snow racer or a regular toboggan. They won't let you on the hill with that, as far as I know. Because we used to, not that one, but there was another one that was closer to Barrie. I won't say the name. But we used to sneak there at nighttime when they were shut down, and we'd bring our GT snow racers, and sometimes we'd get chased off by security.
They would rather spend the money to have you chased off of there than absolutely let you just go down it. That's how ridiculous it is.
When at the time when we did it, we went to a school where there was a hill. School was at the top of the hill. The bottom of the field at recess was at the bottom of the hill. All the kids brought crazy carpets to school. We all had crazy carpets. You have no control or steering on a crazy carpet. Every recess, there was teeth on the ground. From a boot in the face, you know, you're going down the hill. Nobody waited their turn. They all just went at once.
Of course.
It was like Chinese downhill where you got to bash into each other, right? On crazy carpets at school. And nowadays, you can't even pick up a snowball or touch the snow.
Well.
Or look at a toboggan without a license.
Well, the thing is that they're so worried about charges from everywhere across from the parents. They're so worried about everything out here today, the teachers. They really have no control over anything anymore if you really think about it. They've lost so much control, you know, like, and it's so harder for them to come out here to try and even make anything of any of them anymore because, oh, he's looking at me. Oh, I think that teacher likes me. I'm going to tell my mom.
Well, there was this one school, I can't remember the name of it, but it was just down the street from my place in Toronto that actually banned tennis balls. Banned, like, you can't even have a tennis ball on school property.
Well,
I mean, like, what is it, Nerf gun, Nerf football? Like, you can't even have a Nerf football? How do you have a school football team?
Well, I know my son's school, Annunciation of Our Lords, they let my son bring soccer balls and stuff like that, you know, like, and it is really one of the better schools in Hamilton. Like, I've fought for my son to go to this school so many different times, and I think it's a great school there. Plus, he gets an EA teacher there for full day. I had him in a public school, and like I said, this is the reason why I know they only have it for a half a day. You know, I phoned up Tim Simmons at the time, who was Ward 3 in that area, and I phoned him up, and I said, hey, listen, Mr. Simmons, why don't we check it out with all the parents there, and let's see if all of them would put in $5 to see if we could get EA teachers there for a full day. And he goes, well, if you want to take the time out to go and do all that, he goes, you go right ahead. And I go, well, I figure it was a great idea. So next thing you know, nothing came about it all or anything like that. But I think today that it's getting to the point where if you don't pay for your child, it's not going to go to school. And the Catholic school board right now, it's all funded right now. And that's the reason why. It's because they're funded by the Ontario government. And the public schools, are funded by the provincial or the federal. And this is the reason why they don't get a full EA at all the time. And this is the horriblest part. And it's up to the parents, I believe, sometimes, too, to come about. Even though my son goes to a Catholic school, I'd be willing to put in $5 a month to help those other children get schooled.
Right.
And it's a tough thing out here for the children out here. Like I said, like in 2030, if our children are taught at home, then how are they going to interact? Interaction is a big deal. This is why I believe in daycare is a well-needed thing out here. It helps children interact and everything. So if our children don't interact, it's just more of a way of our government just keeping us inside. And we're losing more of our rights and freedom. Because, like I said, athletes have went down since computers have become such a big deal.
Yeah. Computers, and video games, all the kids are into video games now.
Whether it's, you know, PS4 or Wii 3 or 5, like whatever they put them up to, but our athletes are really going downhill. Speaking about athletes, though, my son's cousin played in the Team Canada game there, a little nurse there, and he got a player of the game there for Team Canada. Congratulations to him.
Right on.
And the nurse family out there is no stranger to Hamilton, Ontario, like that, for athletes. You know, Raquel was quite the athlete herself and everything like that. And my son comes from a pretty good bloodline in that area there of athletes. So I'd like to congratulate him in those areas there for being player of the game of Team Canada there.
Well, was Tim Horton from Hamilton?
Absolutely. Timmy was from Hamilton. That's why on Ottawa Street is our very first Tim Hortons there. It is right there, and they've, I guess, tried to make it a memorial sort of thing there. And now it has three floors, and it has a little donut shop. You can go in there and sit, but they're trying to make it look more than what it really is.
kind of like a bit of a historical coffee shop.
Yeah. Like being, like Tim Horton was a great player and everything like that. But I myself think McDonald's have a better deal, and this is the cause and why. I go there and I get an extra large coffee, and I pay $2.12 in the morning time. They also give me a paper with that, plus a muffin. I go over to Tim Hortons and I get an extra large coffee for $2.10. So I kind of don't mind McDonald's at all.
Now, the McDonald's coffee tastes a lot like the Tim Hortons coffee.
I find it a lot more lighter, and obviously it's always a lot more fresher. And they give away free coffee over there, and I've never seen Tim Hortons ever do that for some reason.
Well, you can watch TV if you want, or
well, it's my thing. Tim Hortons has the roll up the rim to win thing here in Canada, where, you know, like when it's on, you can roll up this side rim of your cup with your teeth, and it's all gross and you, all these bite marks on it. Then you tear it off if you actually won something. Like you almost never win. Just you win the chance to play again. But if you do win a muffin or a donut or a cookie or another coffee, you got to tear that off and then hand the bitten up, chewed up, rolled up, gross sleeve to the person who's serving food.
I call
like here, here I got a free one, and they got to put it in their bare hand, and they're like, oh yeah.
Well, I call another it, one. I call it pay again. Because you get it to play again, but I call it pay again because you never really win anyways.
Almost never.
Yeah, like you don't hear too many people from Hamilton, Ontario going, I won the car, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but this is what happens, and I myself have not really a great fan of Tim Hortons in a lot of different matters. They have smiley faces, but McDonald's has McDonald Ronald House. And since my son was born at 1 pound 6 ounces, during the time there, they had people from Ohio and everything. And, you know, I think the Ronald McDonald House is a really great cause, like, because they absolutely put up people that are in really good need.
And they opened up Ronald McDonald House in 1981, I believe.
Been a real tremendous thing out here for the people that are in need of their children and everything like that. Like, whenever I see anything to do with Ronald McDonald, like, I've never had a problem trying to throw all my change with or anything. It is a really great cause, the Ronald McDonald House. And, of course, you know, they're always funding out through the hospitals and everything like that. Like,
they work with sick kids hospitals?
I believe they do, too. Like, you know, and sick kids, of course, you know, stand for what itself really is. It's, you know, and who tries not to donate to any of these causes. I would rather donate to these causes than absolutely somebody calling me up and going, we're this close to a diabetes cure. We're this close to a cancer cure. We're this close. We're this close. We're this close.
They're always that close. Yeah.
You know, at least you see the cause of where it's really going to instead of the maple leaf. Now, I knew over 12 years ago, they had a machine that was inside of Toronto that can detect you with every cancer going on to it and catch it before 5 years it hits you. This machine is not being brought out any longer. For some reason, it has been taken away. You're going to have cancer in 4 years, but if you go and do this and do this, you won't. Let's not try and save too many lives out here. And this is what happens in our medical field.
So, Phil, do you think hemp oil could be a good combatter of cancer?
Absolutely. You know, like hemp oil is I've always hemp oil is a great thing. Like anything natural, like myself, like I always see a herbalist. Every vitamin is made out of vitamin, mineral, or herb. Anyways, any pill that you take from a doctor, they just add their own thing to cost you more money for it. Either way,
yeah. Because I'm using hemp oil, the caplets, the cold pressed hemp oil seed oil.
Oh yeah,
caplets. Yeah.
Now, does it say organic 100% on there?
This one here, I was taking the other one that was more organic. I bought it from Whole Foods, and it was organic. But I couldn't find the organic ones in the soft gels.
No, they you usually have to go through the taste of it all, which is one of the wonderfulest things here.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're dealing in that form, I'm telling you, I had my face turned blue a few different times from some of the things I've drank. Side of the herbal medicine field, but they detect everything on you so quickly compared to the doctors, and it doesn't cost as much money. A touch to the wrist, or a touch of the look at your tongue or a look at this and telling you what is exactly wrong with you without doing all these tests, like I said, could save millions of dollars, and they won't do it.
So basically you can become your own doctor, so to speak.
Well, if you don't, if you do, you'll live longer. Like, yeah. The reality is there. Like, if you start being your own doctor and you start doing your own things and going, hey, I'm not feeling well, I'm going to go see somebody instead of prolonging something, 9 out of 10, you can usually be fixed up pretty quick. And people don't really take the time out to really, oh, I'm going to fight this cold. Oh, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to fight this. It's like they put on their Captain Marvel uniform and go, Shazam, nothing's going to touch me.
Yeah. Well, just like my wife, she just went to get a quick physical type of thing. And after that, he came out with a needle. Huh. And she's looking at him, was like, well, what's that? Oh, he said, I thought you wanted the flu shot. And she go, no, I'm scared. And she didn't take it. It's because of me. I mentioned to her, if you're going to get the flu shot, you're putting yourself at risk.
Well, this is the thing right now. I mean, there's quite a few vaccines out there that have cancer virus in the vaccine. Okay? And then they turn around, they got Propagandalina Jolie running around telling everyone to preemptively cut off their breasts before you get cancer. And they tell you that cancer's, it's all a genetic, it's all in your genes, it's all genetic. So, which is it?
Well, the thing is that...
Are they injecting us with cancer? Because they're openly admitting that they are. And then they turn around and say, no, it's in your genes. Well yeah, it is. It's in my genes because you injected it into my genes, you moron.
Well, I believe the real thing and the problem boils down to it is when they know that everybody has cancer in their body regardless. So if they give them a bit of cancer, they know it speeds it up regardless. They know that everything that they do, rather it's from food, there's chemicals, water, regardless what they're trying to do right now, it's always to, well, you know, if he drinks this much, then he'll only live this much longer. But if he drinks this much, he'll live this much longer. And they're absolutely just trying to slow down your life regardless who you are. Either way you look at it, because it all deals in the big factor of money.
Now, I don't know if you remember this, but this, I think it was about a year ago or so, but it was Angelina Jolie. I call her Propagandalina Jolie. She's actually a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, one of the few celebrity stars that is. But she preemptively claims that she cut off her breast in a double mastectomy because she had a gene that predetermines
the gene. Before us the opportunity to forge.
Well, we got a break, guys. We'll catch this on the other side.
A new world order. A world with a rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a one-year supply. Your future looks really great. I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the MicroPlant Powder family. MicroPlant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MintUSA.org.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Down the rabbit hole with Popeye, Tuesday through Friday,
Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
All right.
The blue on the sea, blue sink and bleed under sky, so smoky blue green. I can't foresee a Dixie did she, so we dance the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm near? New Orleans is sinking, man, and I don't want to swim.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com, broadcasting live out of Canada. And if you stay tuned, there's a lot of live radio coming up. I know there's a lot of new shows on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. We're here with Phil Ryerson. This is our last segment, so let's see what else we can jam in here.
Well, let's get right into a couple of other factors here, you know. Like I said before, if the people don't come out and start making changes in other parties, like the Green Party, and giving other parties a chance, we are never going to get anywhere. Our debt is only going to get higher, especially in the federal election coming up, which is this October. And citizens of Hamilton, come out there, make a difference out here, as I'm trying to the school and out here for this taxi driving school, which is right here in my hand. This is one of the most political things I've ever seen. This is called Taxi Driving Academy, which they're trying to bring over to Brampton, Ontario next. Right here, it is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever had to see. But I'm telling you now, to all the citizens out there, if you think it's a great idea that the cab drivers who have people breathing on them all the time, that are always sick coming into our cabs, wanting to do CPR, you're all crazy. I think that this is a shame and a crime for any of them to even think that the cab driver should be able to do this. So all the senior citizens out there who are sitting there going, well, no, something is better than nothing. Well, if they were paying for it, it would be better for all of us. So this is what's going to probably happen 9 out of 10. It's going to create a strike across Ontario for all the cab drivers if this does not happen. And I'm going to be one of the people coming out here to make sure that this happens. This has nothing to do with the owners whatsoever here in Hamilton, Ontario, or across the rest of it. This is a total government thing. And Al Fletcher, sir, I'll be calling you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to giving you my complaints of why. And as the time I'm being off of work right now, I'm assuring you, sir, that this course wasn't even supposed to happen. And to John, who runs the academy, who sat there and said, who knows I wanted and done the course, who wants me to turn around and pay another $1,000 again, I will probably end up charging our city of Hamilton for this academic of this crime to the drivers of our taxi field, because it's just disgusting. As a person trying to come back and drive cab, who is losing money right now because of the school, and it's just a money scam.
So, I mean, I smell a lawsuit cooking up here, a class action lawsuit, with all the cab drivers that are being forced into this, and especially those who have decided, no, I'm not going to capitulate. They could sue for all the lost wages during the time and the duration
that
this whole thing has accrued. So that's one thing that I recommend. I don't think you'll, like, even if you win a class action lawsuit, you're not going to get a big payout. It never happens. But you'll inflict mega damage on those who are trying to do this to you.
Well, especially if all of us do it at the same time. So, like, if this means that if Toronto does it, Brampton does it, Sarnia does it, Niagara Falls does it, all of Hamilton does it, it'll be an impact to where absolutely it'll show that the school was never needed in the first place. Because as a driver out there, I'm sure I know how to deal with citizens out here. As a person who was an ex-doorman, as a person who's done a lot of different things out here, I can assure you all that I understand the taxi industrial field. And we are not going to sit there and be put down by all this by any means whatsoever. And I haven't even started yet on my videos and putting it across all of YouTube and everywhere like that, especially to all the taxi drivers across, because this is just a crime that we're having to pay $1,000. Like I said, if we were a security place, they would pay for us. But since we're taxi drivers, we have to pay them. And altogether, this guy is going to make off of this approximately probably $1.8 million if it continues, if they want to bring in other cab drivers. Because I'm telling you now, I know guys that are driving out there that have had bypass surgeries and everything. Can you imagine them giving CPR to somebody? They better have the oxygen tank right there. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the reasoning for this? Is it so that taxi drivers are first responders or something?
So they can charge $1,000 per taxi driver across the board.
And this is what it's all about. It's all about costing us money, because they knew that they have this other company coming in, Goober, that is also inside of Toronto, who is not being forced to do any of these things. So this is worse than a women's test that you go and take. Like, you know, as you go out there here in Ontario, we have a women's test that you have to go out there and write down for you to go work in a company if you're working for a temp agency, which is just disgusting. You know, I was always wondering about the temp agencies, and this is the part that kills me. Why don't the unions open up their own? This way the people would get more steadier work instead of the government making money from the unions. This part has always killed me about the unions. I've never understood why all 1,103 unions never decide to open up their own to have it. And why would they want to pay the government for temp services when the people could be absolutely making that money and have a right to go into the union after 3 months instead of being kicked out before those 3 months are up?
Right.
And maybe that way you can have some free benefits or something like that, which I don't think a lot of the temps actually do.
Well, no, there is no benefits. The benefits is only them taking $3 off of you. Like, if you know you're getting minimum wage, they're making more than that. Other than that, they wouldn't have you there. So if they have 200 people there, they're making $3 off of that person an hour. So if you add that up by the day, that's not bad money.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the companies use this loophole, and they go to the temp agencies. They hire a bunch of full-time workers, and then before the full-time period is over, where they would have to hire them on full-time and pay benefits and all this other stuff, they get rid of them all. And then they go back and they find another 30 or 60 or 100 temp workers that they can work full-time and not pay the benefits. It's just a loophole. They've been doing this for years. Now, some companies use it in different ways. It really depends on the company and how they use it. They can manipulate the system to their advantage. Some just use it because they know they're full-time employees. A lot of their full-time employees have drug or alcohol problems, and as soon as they're full-time, they can't just fire them. They got to pay for their rehabilitation. They got to pay for this, that, and the other thing. And that's another reason why companies will use temp agencies, just because they like the ability to say, hey, this guy isn't showing up to work on time. He's always hungover, or he's always looks like he's drugged out on something. They like the ability to just be able to let that person go. They used to be able to do that. I mean, you got guys operating heavy machineries, and he's all whacked out on
whatever, heroin or whatever. I mean, you can't have them doing that. But if you have them on full time, you can't fire them. You got to send them to rehab. You got to do all this other thing. So, I mean, it's a bit of a catch 22. I mean, it can be beneficial to some company. Well, it can be beneficial, but in one way, it's dishonest with the people, and it's not paying them their benefits.
Well, it's not guaranteeing them a job, at least that if the unions had it, it would be more of a beneficial to a job. The union have a right to fire the people just before the 3 months are up, just before the other people do. I'm just not understanding why they would turn around and sit there and say, well, here, you guys make this much more money than our unions do. That is the part I'm not understanding, why they would not create their own temp services for the unions for people to have. I'd rather see the union have it and sit there and say, okay, you're going to make $12. And then if you get into the union, you'll make $17. Instead of them sitting there going, okay, well, now you only make $11 because, you know, you're part of the temp service and you're getting only minimum wage and nothing more. And this is the difference. And they would understand if they're going to keep the person or not. And this would be this. It's no difference besides them sitting there just giving our government more money, which I'm not understanding. And the unions are hurting their own selves by not absolutely opening up their own.
Yeah, well, I mean, most of the temp agencies out there are just complete bottom feeders, tell you the truth. That's all they are. They masquerade as, oh, we're going to connect you with jobs. No, we're going to exploit you and extort money out of you, and that's basically all they are.
Well, absolutely. You know, well, right now they're just not fighting for the people. Like, I remember unions before would come out there, and these are the reasons why we have rights out here. But right now, the only rights they're fighting for right now is to see which person is going to get a higher paycheck. And this is where the saddest part becomes. I remember women's rights, they got that for them. I remember that, you know, people were able to have old age pension for it and everything like that. These are all the things that the unions created. I don't know anything in the last 35 years. The unionists came out here and said, we have created this now for the public. It's been a long time.
Well, I love the mainstream media, you know, name any network and go watch the news and check out the economy, because usually the economy is just fine and everything's good. Meanwhile, the number one and two employers in America is a temp agency and Walmart.
Well, Walmart is...
Does that sound like, you know, everyone's making good money, yet you either work at the temp agency or I think number two is Walmart. I mean, so everybody's making minimum wage, which means they're living... They barely got enough money to eat and catch the bus to work the next week.
Well, this is why you see a guy like Kevin Harper going over there and fighting all the other foreign union thing instead of here across Canada, which really is a disgrace, you know. But over it all, like Walmart, the best way for us to settle a lot of this stuff is to raise, believe it or not, all imports. We have to raise all imports to where they're sitting there saying, okay, it's not making us as much money, and this way some of these companies might actually
we used to have high tariffs on a lot of imports, depending
on
the country. Like, say, a country like Australia has a very similar dollar in terms of value. They have a very similar standard of living. So to have a free trade deal with Australia doesn't really put Canadian jobs at risk, because it costs the same. They're not going to move everything over to Australia in order to save $1 and then ship the goods back to Canada. It would cost them more money. But in markets like China, I would like to see tariffs put in place until their standard of living or their monetary value evens up at least with parity.
Well, this is where we would be able to get maybe companies back like Heinz and all the rest of the companies if we raised all of the import prices. And this is the things that we have to do to create more jobs here in Canada. And as a person coming out here who is coming out to run for the Green Party and trying to give them different ideas, these are one of the things we have to look at for ourselves and our Canadian to create more jobs out here for us. And it would be such a big deal if we were able to raise all these things, which I don't think it takes a long time to raise it. Just like I think it would only take one policy to legalize marijuana here in Hamilton, Ontario. We have space here, I want to assure you of it, for us to start supplying us Ontario, which would bring revenue to our city, fix our roads, fix our sidewalks, and help bring our Board of Education, along with high schools, elementary schools, and on top of that, of course, our universities and colleges. because, you know, like if you go across and you talk to the students like I have, and I've been across Mohawk, I've been across, you know, everywhere across McMaster and everything like that, I always keep telling them that if we do it across this way, we have to do it so where, you know, let me give you this as a great example. Here we have a place that you have to go to, and all of a sudden you're a college student and you're going to school. Next thing you know, they're going, okay, your course is going to cost you $30,000, so OSAP is going to turn around and fund you for this, but now you have a bill against you for the rest of your life. But we have a place like Ever College out here that you could go to in 6 months, be trained for that job, guaranteed a job, but our students are stuck there with all these bills and are not guaranteed that job. This is hurting our economy for our younger youths, and this is where a lot of these colleges are coming out and making more money, but the government is not helping out towards OSAP. They're not helping out towards all of their education for the high schools, and these are all a big ordeal to us all.
Well, see, it's all about the education industry, and that's what they've it's become a for-profit industry, whether you're talking about the public school system or the college schools or the universities. They're training people for jobs that don't even exist, and they know it. I mean, look at the DJ school. How many DJ schools are all around Toronto? It's great, you know, become a DJ. You can open up a DJ school. Other than that, there's no work for you because everybody and their mother is now a DJ. You overtrained everybody. Look at graphic design. 10 years ago, everyone was going to school to be a graphic designer. That's great. But, you know, you train 10,000 people to be a graphic designer and there's only 500 jobs for that. Well, now you've oversaturated it and now they're working at Walmart. You got a graphic designer working at Walmart, not doing graphic design. And this was all so they could charge the student all this tuition and put them in debt to pay this off when they didn't need it in the first place. I mean, I don't know. It's become an industry.
If they could do it for Ever College, why not the students that are going to school, like especially people that are going to Hummer College, that are going to become morticians, scientists, and everything like this, you know. And if we were to legalize marijuana and start adding things towards our education and stuff like that, we, instead of wanting them to take it away from us all in 2030 and have them learn at home, I think, like I said, that they're taking away our rights already. And this is just another way of keeping our children away from other children. And it's just a horrible ordeal. And I think the citizens across Canada must wake up and absolutely see that these things are happening. And it's their children, not only mine.
Right. There was a school system here in Hamilton. I can't remember what school it was, but it was about the lunches. And I guess some student was allergic to dairy, so they banned all dairy from the entire school. And then I asked the question, I'm like, well, is there any mothers who had a recent baby who is breastfeeding, and are they not allowed on school property because they're lactating? I mean, where do you draw the line with this? I mean,
they already do it with peanut butter and several other things, you know.
Right.
And now they want to take this out of there, and they want to make all these people eat all these proper foods and everything like that. And I'm sitting there going, well, you know, none of this food is going to be organic. None of this food. And next thing you know, you're going to have to buy food. You're not going to even be able to take your son a lunch to school. To give your son a lunch, you're going to have to pay for it at school.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just money ways of coming up. And it's just getting worse for our city. Our cities have to absolutely come out there and see that changes need to be made. And if the changes ain't going to be made by them, it's not going to be made by anyone else.
I don't know what the solution is. I mean, I always wondered. I'm like, with the increased rate of children with allergies, with food allergies, it made me wonder if, like, say, city like Hamilton or Toronto or whatever, if they should have a school specifically dedicated for those students.
Oh, absolutely.
So then that way, the other schools, they can bring whatever food they want, and that school is an allergy-free food school, and then it cuts down a lot of the headache of having to deal with it.
Well, this is what they're trying to make it look like, you know, like pretty soon, like, you know, your children is going to be in a separate room without another child being in there because he's allergic to it. Like, you know, I believe that they have bubbles now that people can run in, and maybe they should just have
a we all just in a bubble.
and then we could all just run with the bubble, like, you know. But it's, like I said, though, but the Board of Education is in big trouble coming up. After these elections are coming up, I believe, I think the next one is the provincial. But after that, you know, we have that year or so. And if people don't start coming out and making a change, especially the poor, like, I'm on the poor because I'm a guy who fights for the poor. I fought for the little guy in the last election. I was in the paper for it. I was so disappointed that the people never came out and voted for me because I was expecting it of them. And I was really disappointed. And hopefully this time, Central Hamilton will see that they have somebody that is different, somebody that's going to come out there and absolutely fight for different causes and try and make a difference in our city of Hamilton. And to our politicians out there, now if I get in there in Central Hamilton, you guys thinking that you're going to be coming up with this plan of an idea like you did downtown about the buses and costing $2 million for a project, you won't be really getting a lot of that from me if I win Central Hamilton. You might be able to do it with David Christofferson, who is in there right now, and several other people, but this guy will not be doing any of that stuff like that. It'll be for a thing that is guaranteed. And let's try and fix Gord Park up for the fifth time, I believe, that you guys want to fix it now, and absolutely try and do something with downtown area.
Now, I wonder how much they're going to charge to remove the bike lane, or the bus lane, sorry.
Well, this is it, you know? Like, now they got to go out there and take out those lines and everything like that, and here goes...
Yeah, but they painted some lines, and then they got to unpaint the lines. I mean, how could this cost a couple million bucks? I mean, couldn't I just go get a can of paint from Home Depot or Crappy Tire? And the roller and for $39.99 paint it black? I don't know.
Well, let's remember, the city holds no longer any contracts across Ontario. Like, no city holds any contractors. So all of a sudden, all these contracts are given out to people that are doing this, and it's not the city doing it. So, for an example, if you have a contract in construction, you know, like, I believe it's the highest bidder who wins.
Right. It's the highest bidder wins.
It's not the lowest bidder. It's the highest bidder who wins, who's going to basically come out there and say, well, if I give you this amount, this will happen. If I give you that amount, that will happen. And this is what it's really all about. And I'm not going to play that game. I don't value money like the rest of the people think out here. I've never really had a whole bunch of it. Never cared if I did. And the money situation, what I value more than anything out here is life. I think people have a right to live as long as they can. I don't believe in war. I think it is just nonsense. I believe in wasting so many millions of dollars here in Canada from our federal government that is unbelievable, and it's not going to stop until we absolutely put in new parties.
Yeah, and we're waiting on that flux capacitor to get the time machine built so we can pay off the federal debt, because you're going to need a time machine to pay it off, because it's moving faster than time, as you said before.
Oh, it's moving way faster than time. Like, you know, that thing is just going do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Nobody out here could type faster than that thing is moving. So, you know, and it's just, like I said, if we don't make changes out here in our government, you'll hear all three top parties come out there and complain about each other. You'll hear the PC, the NDP, the Liberals. We do this, and they're doing this, but... All of a sudden, when it comes to an election time, none of these other parties are allowed, though.
Well, Jesse Ventura mentioned about getting rid of all the parties, just voting for the individual.
Well, Jesse Ventura's tried a lot of different things. I was disappointed that he didn't even run for the Green Party himself or even come out as his own person, you know, like Jesse has a following. You know, and I came out there and left several messages. I do follow Jesse Ventura. I have him on my Facebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I do like Jesse, and Jesse has a lot of great ideas, but if he would have ran, I think it would have been a big change. Maybe he wasn't able to get the money. I think that, you know, Jesse might have talked to Vince McMahon there for a while. He might have been able to maybe get some, you know, cash flow over his way.
Exactly.
I'm sure him and Vince are still good friends, and I'm sure, you know, it would have been quite the achievement for Jesse. I think I watched Jesse as a wrestler. I've watched Jesse as an announcer. I've watched him as a mayor of Minnesota. And I think he's always been interesting. I've even watched his shows on TV.
Right.
You know, so I really don't mind Jesse. Or Alex Jones, to be exact, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes everybody thinks Alex gets a little bit carried away. But, you know, when you're seeing some of the things that he's witnessing and absolutely going through, regardless how you want to call whatever is out here. But if you really look at it all, you know, here's a...
No, I love the whole Alex Jones where the, you get the people. He's a Jesuit black assassin that works for the New World. And I'm like, he's got way too many commercials in his broadcast for him to be a paid agent. If he was, they wouldn't need all these commercials. He's got to sell you something every 5 minutes. I mean,
well, to the people who think that the government don't work together. I believe it was George Bush Sr. who was having a hard time breathing the other day, which I mentioned in my Stephen Harper video there. But anyways, they came out there and they showed a picture. And here's where the Democrats and the, I guess, and the rest of them all got together. There was Obama, George Bush Jr., I believe Bill Clinton himself, and Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
And I believe that they're both from two different parties here. Like, don't get me wrong. So if they don't work together, why are they there almost sitting there holding hands?
Yeah, the President's Club.
Well, how can you have a President's Club? Like, you know... Like, you know, I was watching about Al Gore coming out here. Why wasn't Al Gore there and arguing about his time against George Bush? Why did he not make it such a great ordeal?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, that was a great idea, and he's just sitting there going, okay, oh well, he can have presidency. Who does that?
Yeah, he gave up on the Florida.
Yeah.
The recount.
Like, who does that? And then people are going, oh, I hope he runs again. Well, if he took himself out of the last election, you know he's not running in the next one.
No. Probably Jeb Bush, Romney, yeah. Hillary Clinton.
He wasn't really serious in the first place if he didn't really make a big deal out of being...
So if you have the Democrats and the Republicans all standing there arm to arm and with their hands crossed like that, and they're all sitting there going, we don't want to bring in the Green Party yet. Well, if you see... You know, for an example, we had this girl, Amy, come out there going, well, what about if we change this bill and we think that this should happen? And I was talking to the other parties, and I'm going, you were talking to the other parties? How long have you been talking to the other parties? How long have you been talking to the Liberal Party, the NDP Party, and the PC Party for? How long have you been doing this for? Hello, Amy. Amy, hello. And, of course, she never responded back because she just came out and said that they're all buddies anyways. And if everybody's all buddies, I'm not understanding what's the sense of having a party.
Well, it's just like the WWE. You're gonna when they're out in public, they look like they're against each other, but behind the scenes, they're all chummy chummy and buddy buddy. You know.
Well, of course, you know, like you yeah. don't get to work with people that length of time and not become their friends. Like,
oh, definitely.
And this is why our problem is inside of our Hamilton City government right now, especially with their city elected officials. 20 years, 24 years, and I'm telling you right now, they're going to try and vote this in to where the citizens come out and pay them. Anyways, I believe this is the end of the show. Thanks for being on here. If I get in as a Green Party, you'll be the first I come on. I want to promise.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Just sweet Charlie.
A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUE.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Real people, real radio.